26 before, good morning. It's John and Glenn, Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. If you're a parish young adult minister, you know how your life has been changed, and also the kids who are under your care, their lives have been changed. We'll take a look at what to do as moms and dads now in terms of taking care of the kids, of addressing their issues, and what parish young adult ministers should do during this time of pandemic when we're all kind of socially separated from each other. That's coming up in this half hour. Plus, it's a fresh Glenn story corner here on this Thursday morning. But right now, let's talk about the confluence of faith and fear. Are you fearful of what you hear about the COVID-19 pandemic? It's hard to at least not be anxious, and many of us are fearful, but can fear and faith coexist? Sister Teresa Alethea Noble is a former atheist, now a religious sister with the Daughters of St. Paul, and joining us live from St. Louis this morning. Sister, it's good to have your voice back on Relevant Radio. Good morning and happy Easter.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Is it possible to be fearful and faithful as a Roman Catholic man or woman?
It is, definitely, John. I think a lot of people are struggling right now because I think sometimes there can be this tendency in some Christian circles to think that faith means relentless, I call it kind of this relentless positivity, mm-hmm. even when we're talking about something negative, and obviously this pandemic is a negative experience that we're all undergoing, people can kind of think that the Christian thing is to turn that around and make it seem like everything is all sunshine and rainbows, when in reality, we're experiencing the cross through this. We all are, whether we're sick, whether we're experiencing financial difficulties, loneliness, fear, we're all experiencing things that are very difficult for us. So how does fear go, or our faith go alongside that? And I think it's really important for us to understand that it's not going to just make it disappear. Faith doesn't just make all of our feelings disappear. These are human feelings, and our feelings, the Catechism tells us, are neutral. Fear is not a negative thing. It's actually very rational for us to fear death and to not want to die suddenly. The Church has prayed against sudden death for so many years. So really, in the midst of this, the Bible tells us, do not be afraid, and so over and over and over again. And we can look to that as a reminder that the Bible, God knew that we would be fearful. That's why it says, do not be afraid. It's not a call to just erase our feelings. It's a call to recognize our feelings, to recognize that we're feeling afraid, that we're feeling anxious about the future, we're feeling uncertainty. But in the midst of that fear, we can turn to God and ask Him to help us, and ask Him to help us to move forward even in this darkness that we're experiencing and this uncertainty that we're experiencing.
Sister, when you are carrying crosses and you do have those dark moments in your life, what do you do to tap into your pool of faith?
I think it's so important in this time of so many of us are quarantined, and some of us are actually experiencing the opposite of quarantine. Some people, especially our first responders, are working more than they used to, constant hours, just dragging, just probably feeling extremely exhausted. And so in the midst of both of those experiences, finding time to pray is very important. For those in quarantine, a lot of us have extra time. So, and our fear sometimes can almost, it's not only a fearful experience, it's a traumatic experience. So some of us are experiencing shock, and we're kind of, I don't know about anybody else, but I find it hard to do the normal things I normally did. I'm kind of walking around a little bit in the brain fog. So it can be hard to pray when you're feeling that way, but it's important to do it anyway. Even if you don't feel like your prayer is fruitful, or if you feel like you're just, you know, your prayer is a waste of time, or you're running through thoughts through your mind, and you get to the end of it, and sometimes I do that, and I just say, I'm sorry, Jesus, just please help me, and that's a prayer. That's a prayer. Just sitting in silence with Jesus and allowing Him to see our helplessness in this moment is a prayer. But it's really important to do that, because even if I end my time of prayer feeling like it wasn't really well used, that's a prayer too. That's just showing Jesus, I need your help right now. I'm struggling, and that call for help, he hears that, he listens to that, and he responds to that. But it's really important to give him that time. So, and for people who don't have less time right now, even in the midst of the work that you're doing, if you can just take a moment to just say, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you throughout the day. That's a prayer that I've been using a lot, and a prayer that first responders and people who are so busy and only have snippets of time can use throughout their day.
Sister, when we talk about authenticity versus kind of that fake happy sunshine in our faith, not only does it make it harder to witness to people who expect authenticity in this day and age, but also it can maybe hinder our prayer life a little bit too if we've kind of been publicly pretending that everything is fine, but we actually need to be nothing but completely honest when we come before the Lord.
Absolutely. You know, I've spent the last 3 years urging people to meditate on their death. And, you know, when this happened, a lot of people said, Sister, you know, I'm so glad I've been meditating on my death, and I have no fear of death now. And I said, well, you know, that's good, but I don't believe you. Because really, it's really important for us to be able to be authentic in our prayer with God. And my meditation on death has actually decreased my fear of death. So that has actually, I'm so grateful to God for that practice came into my life before this happens, because it prepared my heart a little bit, but it did not erase my fear. It can decrease our fear, but it can't erase it. So that's really important, even for the practice of going to God and meditating on our death, but going to God and in any sort of prayer meditation, is to be able to open our hearts and to recognize what's happening inside of us so that we can bring it to Jesus. Because if we go to God feeling like we have everything under control, and I'm not afraid of what's going on, I'm doing really good, and you go into prayer and you're not giving the reality to Jesus to work with, you're just kind of, you're taking care of yourself, you're being self-sufficient. And all prayer requires this humility of heart to go into prayer and just to say, wow, Jesus, you know, I'm feeling like a mess today. And of course, we're not always feeling like a mess, but let's be real. We often have messy feelings going on inside of us. And prayer is bringing that to Jesus and asking him what he has to say about that. And so it's really important. Authenticity is related to this stance of humility. We're going before our Creator, who is all-powerful, and he is, in every single situation, going to bring good out of it somehow. And that's the reality of our faith, that in the midst of our fear, in the midst of our suffering, we can trust in that. We can trust that we have a good, all-powerful God who can bring good out of terrible situations.
It's a beautiful and pure form of prayer, is just to have that authentic conversation with Jesus. Our conversation this morning with Sister Teresa Alethea Noble on why faith and fear of death are not incompatible. You talk about meditating on your own death. How do you start doing that? How would you start doing that for someone who wants to start that meditation?
Well, you know, what I've thought about often is, it's interesting that we're experiencing a communal memento mori, a reminder of death. And so right now, all of us are being reminded of death around every corner. This is a reminder of death, this entire pandemic. Every day when we get up and we can't do the normal things that we normally do, and our life has been so substantially changed, that's a reminder that the reason we're doing this is to protect ourselves and to protect our neighbors from death and to prevent the spread of this virus. So right now we're all being reminded of death. So normally in the practice of meditation on death, I would consciously remind myself that I'm going to die. I don't need to do that right now because I'm constantly being reminded of that. But in the practice, in the Christian practice of remembering our death, we bring that that awareness that we're going to die to Jesus, and we ask him to help us to see how we should live our life in that awareness, that we're living for eternity. We're not just kind of stuck in this timeless void right now that all of us might be experiencing in quarantine, but that actually our life has an end, and the end is the door to heaven. That is our goal, is that our end of life will be the door to heaven. And so every day in our examine, if we do an examine, when we review our day, it was something very encouraged by the saints, especially Saint Ignatius. We can review our day in prayer and just say to Jesus, you know, how do you want me to continue to live my life in view of eternity? And how are you present during this day, pointing me towards eternity and giving me the graces to live for eternity? And how can I better do that tomorrow? That's one way that we can constantly bring that reminder to mind.
We can do that without maybe being quite as graphic as Saint Jerome, who tradition says left a skull on his desk, so he'd always be reminded of that.
Yeah, well, I have a skull on my desk, so that is a way to remind ourselves, definitely. But yeah, there's many ways to remind ourselves. But as Saint Benedict told his monks to keep death daily before you, I think it's very important to, in the midst of the reality of all of us, we're keeping death daily before us anyway. If we don't do that in the context of our faith, then it's just a source of anxiety for us. But right now, when all of us are experiencing this communal memento mori, we can bring this to God in prayer and ask him, you know, I'm feeling fear about this, or to really get in touch with how we feel about the reality of death and its closeness to us. And bring that to prayer. I really encourage everyone to do that, because a lot of times when we're experiencing anxiety and fear, and right now it's very rational and reasonable to be experiencing that, but when we're experiencing it to the extent that it's difficult to get things done and it's really impinging on our lives, it's when we bring that, whatever is causing that fear, and in this case, I think at the root of it is the fear of death. When we bring that fear to God and really get in touch with what's going on inside of us, that can really help us to decrease the fear of death. So really, there's this call, St. Francis de Sales, and this is a very paradoxical quote from him, but he says, we ought to fear death without fearing it. And that's something that is made possible through meditation on death. We still fear it in a natural way. Death is repugnant to nature, so we're going to always fear that reality in some sense on a human level. But faith allows us to have this fearlessness in the face of death. But that doesn't come, you know, it doesn't come with a snap of a finger. God doesn't just drop that in our hearts. It's something, it's a process. It's something that happens throughout life as we constantly bring those fears to Jesus and hand them over to Jesus in prayer over and over and over again.
We're always blessed with enlightening and faith-filled conversations when Sister Teresa Alethea Noble joins us. She's a former atheist who's now a religious sister with the Daughters of St. Paul and the author of many, many books, including the new one, Memento Mori, Prayers on the Last Thing. Sister Teresa, as always, it's a delight to have you on. Look forward to our next conversation. Thank you so much. God bless.
Thanks so much for having me on, John.
It's 13 before the hour. We've talked about the coronavirus, and it's kind of like peeling an onion, right? Because you start to realize, oh, yeah, those people are affected. There's another group that's affected. How about our parish young adult ministers? How they're affected, coming up in 90 seconds on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.